Jack Moline, Executive Director of Interfaith Alliance, is here to talk about the Everyone Only campaign to start building more exclusive communities and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Rabbi Moline.
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the Interfaith Alliance.
The Interfaith Alliance is an organization that's been around for about 20 years and have as our mission the protecting of faith and freedom. We're essentially a First Amendment advocacy group, but we do it from a faith-based perspective. We try to protect religion from the government, and we try to protect the government from religion by paying close attention as faith community adherents from our faith commitments to both the establishment and free exercise clauses of the First Amendment.
Tell us about the Everyone Only Project campaign.
The Everyone Only Project really grew out of discussions we had in the office about these many RFRAs that are popping up in states all over the country. In particular, the truly offensive one that was passed in Indiana. And we just want businesses to be able to make clear to people that they are welcome no matter who they are and what they are, and perhaps because of who they are and what they are. And so we've asked businesses all over the country, small businesses, large businesses, to place a sign in their window or at the cash register that says, "We serve everyone only." And of course, there's contact information for our organization and the website we've created for it. And it has been a rollicking success to everybody who's seen it.
What was your inspiration for creating it?
I have to give credit where credit is due. As we were talking about this in the office, my colleague on the staff, Jay Keller, said, you know, if people are putting up signs that say, no lesbians serve pizza, or, you know, no gays need apply for a wedding cake, we should have a sign that says, we're happy for everybody's business. And we tossed it around a little bit with our communications guys and came up with this notion that would riff on signs that I think most people in America are still familiar with that appeared everywhere there was segregation. Whites only, colored only, blacks only, whatever the sign said, you know, no Jews or Irish, those kinds of things. So the idea of this sign saying everyone only really resonates with people who remember those days and who remember what damage those signs did, and it turns the whole practice on its head.
What would you like to accomplish with this campaign?
In my fantasy, Charlotte, my notion is you wouldn't be able to walk down a commercial street in all of America without seeing one of these signs in a window. And there may be people who, because of their deeply held religious convictions, wouldn't put them up because they wouldn't mean it. But I think if they hold to those convictions so deeply, they ought to be public about that with people as well. There should be a need to state your reason for discrimination, and these signs would create that reason for people who wouldn't display them.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I am a deep, deep believer in the unalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I'm 62 years old. I was not raised in an enlightened era when it came to LGBT issues. My family was a loving family, and I thought relatively unprejudiced, but I know what my attitudes were coming out of that family. It really took my kids, who are now in their 20s and early 30s, to open my eyes to what intellectually I knew, but in my heart, I don't think it had penetrated yet. But once I thought it through and came to understand the organic nature of sexual orientation and gender identity, I realized that these civil rights and the equality of all people is no different than civil rights for Jews or blacks or Latinos or any other group, and that when rights are denied to a class of people in society, it makes for a mandate to focus especially on rectifying that discrimination. So with that long explanation, if I had to put myself on a scale of 1 to 10, I probably started out somewhere around 6 or 7, but I'm a solid 10 by now.
With marriage equality now in the hands of the Supreme Court, what would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
Well, after the Supreme Court rules that marriage equality is the standard in the United States, the next battle is a much more difficult battle, and that is to undo the teaching of contempt and denigration that's typical of far too many systems of thought, and most especially of religious systems of thought in this country. It is absolutely inexcusable that anybody could use scripture of any kind, and I really don't care what the religious tradition is, to denigrate someone simply because their orientation is different. different than what that religious community considers to be the norm. I don't want to even pretend to dictate to anybody how they believe or how they practice within their religious societies, but we need to have an American society that is entirely inclusive, and that's a very hard battle. It requires a lot of patient conversation and a lot of open-mindedness to hear the fear and confusion that lies beneath people's attitudes that discriminate against LGBTQ.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I have very little that I can say to these kids that hasn't been said already. It's a very simple message. If you're considering suicide, don't. It gets better. That's all I can say to the kids, because this is not a problem for LGBTQ kids. This is a problem for people who are causing the problems for those teens. And the message that we have to deliver, particularly to the parents who are responsible for the teens and the children who are doing the bullying, is that you have a responsibility to fix this, and that it is not simply a matter of teaching defensive techniques to the people who are going to be bullied. It is a question of doing what that wonderful mother on the streets of Baltimore did to her son in a different circumstance, which is pulling him up short and saying, "What do you think you're doing? I raised you better than this." And that's really what we need to communicate to kids who are being bullied. It's not your fault. It's our fault, and we have to fix it on your behalf.
How can people get information about the Everyone Only Project?
There are 3 ways that it can be done. We have a website, everyone-only.org. If you go there, you can download the sign. You can see pictures of businesses that have displayed the sign. And if you want, you can make a donation. I wouldn't object to that either. We have a hashtag, that's the second way, #EveryoneOnly. And you can follow what other people are saying and doing about it on Twitter by using that hashtag. And then if you happen to see one of the signs, there's a QR code on the sign that you can scan with your mobile device, and it'll take you right to the website and more information about what we're doing.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Interfaith Alliance has an agenda that's broader than just LGBT issues. We are essentially a First Amendment group. So we are focused, for example, on religious discrimination in this country, particularly against Muslims. Much of the efforts on countering violent extremism in this country wind up being excuses to profile the Muslim community. So we have to be very careful about preserving our civil rights and religious liberties in that set of issues. We also are very focused on the draining of dollars from the public school system through the proposal of vouchers for private schools. Our contention is that while it may help some individual children find better schooling for them, it does much more harm than good by draining already limited resources from the schools where students are going to attend because they don't have a choice of going to a private institution. And it promotes religious entanglement with the government, which we're also not interested in. And that's really our third and most important issue, which is to push back against the attempts of religious interference in governments, of people who are contending that we have a Christian nation and therefore we have to put all of our laws and practices into consonance with whatever their interpretation of Christianity is. That's just 3 of the things that we do, and of course, our First Amendment agenda is much broader than that.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I'd like people to ask me a question I actually heard from one of our now former board members, Ambassador David Saperstein, and that is, why should I, as a person of faith, be concerned about the separation of church and state? And my answer is that it is a matter of faith to be involved in that question. In this country, we enjoy a protection that is almost unheard of in human history, and that is the right to freely practice what we believe and the right of government to be independent of what I, as a person of faith, or someone else, as a person of no faith, thinks they ought to be doing other than following the Constitution. So I'd like people to examine their values and understand that from a faith and philosophy point of view, engagement on these issues of separation of church and state is not only in their personal interest, it's in the interest of what we share in common as Americans, which is a commitment to an independent government that is for the benefit of all people, not just people of a particular perspective. I also wouldn't mind if people asked me how they address these issues in their own community. How do they find an interfaith alliance to be involved in? And I would suggest to them they look for like-minded people and sit down behind a computer and visit our website, interfaithalliance.org. And then if they don't find an interfaith alliance in their local community, they should found an interfaith alliance in their local community, and I'd be happy to help.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
I actually do, and I'm really glad for the opportunity to say it. It's a teaching from the Talmud, and I'm going to say it in Hebrew, and then for the benefit of your few listeners who don't speak Hebrew, I'll translate it. It is, Lo alecha hamlacha l'gmor, ve'lo ata ben chori l'hibatel mimena. And what it means is, you don't have to complete the work, but you're not at liberty to give it up. And when times are tough for me, I remember that I can't fix everything, but if I don't try, the next person is going to have that much harder a time.